All right, 1 John 1:3. 1 John 1:3. We have another beautiful verse. 1 John 1:3.
Ho.
Hierakamen.
Kai.
Aka Kahamen.
Apangaloman.
Kai.
Amen.
Go back up there to Hapangaloman. Do you see where it's alpha, pi, alpha, gamma, gamma? It looks like an A, and then the pi, alpha, or an A, G, G. That gamma, gamma there, that first one turns into an N, like Angelos. Okay? That's where we get our angel from. Amen. Hina. Kai. Himes. Koinonion. Ekete. Meth. Himon. Kai. Hei. Koinonia. Dei. Hei. Hematera. Meta. Tu. Pateros. Pateros, I should say. Kai.
Kai.
Meta.
Tone.
Quion.
Altu.
Asu. Christu. This is a beautiful verse. We're going to look at it slowly, like we have the others. Now remember why John wrote his gospel and why he wrote 1 John. All right. He wrote the gospel according to John to prove the absolute deity of that Jehovah had come into flesh, didn't he? That Jehovah lived in flesh on the earth. 1 John, he was writing against the Gnostics, which the Gnostics today are the Jehovah Witnesses and garner that on from them. If I was a Jehovah Witness, I'd have to tear out quite a little bit of my Bible, because the gospel according to John goes directly against what they teach. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation, and the book of Colossians. These books absolutely prove the deity of Jesus Christ. So now if you don't believe that Jesus is God, then you've got to just tear those out of your Bible and start over again. That's what the Muslims do. Did you know that? The Muslims say that none of John's writings should have been put, not one of them should have been put in the Bible at all, because he says that Jesus is God. And they don't believe that, do they? No. So they are at least smart enough to know that those books should not be in the Bible. So if you're a Jehovah's Witness and a Garner Town Armstrong or any of these cults like this, you need to just tear them out of your Bible and just go from there on, because these books are written directly against what they teach.
Why do you spare the Mormons? They don't believe it either.
They changed God totally different. He's different. They're not Gnostics. They just want to be gods. All right. They're not Gnostics. That's. I mean, we can go to other books and take care of that situation, but these are after Jehovah's Witness. These are after the Gnostics. The Gnostics did not believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. All right? They believe the eternal spirits, eons. Which, all right. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about the Son of God. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Huios tou theou. Huios tou theou. And that's on the second part of this. We're going to look at that. We have seen the Son of God. Look on the second page over here. Kai, meta, tu, what is that word? Huiu. Huiu. And we have seen this Son, this heir of God. The heir. We have seen the Son of God. The word Son there means... Well, let me read it to you. From Thayer. All right? One begotten by a specific father and born of a mother. One begotten by a specific father and born of a mother. Born of a woman. All right? That is the heir We have a specific father. Back in those days, the fathers had all power. Matter of fact, the masculine gender, even in America, until about 1990, women didn't... Well, it was even after 90, probably about 95, when the man died of the family, the woman didn't have much power over anything. What power she got was what her husband gave her. That's just the way it was. But back in this period of time, back in Jesus' time, and even before Christ's time, the Father had all power to delegate who His heir was. All right? Remember how much trouble King Henry VIII, remember that fellow? King Henry VIII? I tell you what, it was awful dangerous to be his wife and have a girl.
Didn't last long.
They didn't last long. He wanted an wheu. He wanted an heir. And it had to be the one that opened the womb. All right? That's the firstborn child of a woman. Okay? It was an heir is the firstborn child of a woman, and it had to be a son. So Henry VIII killed off several wives, didn't he? And divorced them. Because they had girls first. Now, medically, genetically, scientifically, it's the man's fault if she has a girl or a boy. It has nothing to do with a woman. But now, a wheu is the heir or the son of the father. Okay?
So it's an heir.
It's an heir. This word wheu is more than son. This is heir. All right? This is heir. The word ben anim, all right, that's Chaldee. Ben means son in Hebrew and Chaldee, both basically they're very close sister languages. All right, it means ben, son. Ben Susan, son of Susan. All right. Whatever, if you hear of a Hebrew name with Ben on the front, that means the son of. Okay? Now, the word son of, it means, in Hebrew, means according to the pattern. According to the pattern. Now, women, when they have a little boy or a little girl, they always say, "Doesn't he look like his father?" Well, I don't know how far that goes back in the human race. That's very important. To be the legitimate heir, he has to have some characteristic of the father to be the heir.
Yeah. Okay. He better look a lot like me, huh?
Now, that was very important back then. He had to have some characteristic of the father. The Indians used to say, "You know who the mother is, but you're not quite sure who the father is." Well, I'm going to tell you something. Back in those days, if the mama was unfaithful, the mama didn't last long. She was done away with. Took care of a lot of unfaithfulness. Shortage of women sometimes, the way they were killing them off back then. Ben means according to the pattern of.
How do you spell it?
Ben, B-E-N. Okay. All right.
B-E-N.
Bin Laden, son of Laden.
Benjamin.
Yeah, Benjamin, son of the right hand. Ben. Something like this. That's what it looks like. And it's got a strong, like it's Ben. Ben.
I trust you.
All right. Now, Anish, Ben Anish. It talks about Daniel, the son of man. Think about that. Jesus was called the son of man, wasn't he? The book of Enoch called Jesus the Messiah, what? Son of what? Son of woman. Why? Because the Messiah would be of a woman, not a man. The father would be God. The son of the father. All right. the Son of the Father. Just think about that for a while. We got a lot more of this to look at. Which we have seen. How do you remember how John in 1 John, what is he appealing to?
The five senses.
The five senses of man, because this is a real Messiah. This is a Messiah that you can see, that you can hear, that you can touch, and that you can smell. He's really there. He's real. Mary? Brother David, could you go over there and turn that up just a little? That, take that temperature thing and put it up above 70. Just so, you guys getting a little chilly?
Yeah.
All right, I thought you were. All right. Which we have seen with our eyes. All right? And we have heard. So we sight and hearing. And then it says we announce. And this is apo, and it comes from angelos. Apo and angelos. What does apo mean in Greek? That's a little preposition. Huh? From. From message. Go back and look at it. Which we have seen. First person plural, perfect indicative active. Perfect tense. It's done. It's finished. They saw the Messiah. They saw Jesus. They saw Him with their eyes. There was a doubting Thomas there. All right? A Didymus. A Thomas. There was a doubting Thomas. And what did Thomas say? And this is after the resurrection. Now, do you think Thomas believed that Jesus walked in the body before the resurrection?
Yeah.
Why, he knew. He ate with Him. He lived with Him. He followed Him around all over the place. Now, he knew that He was real, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
How about after the resurrection? Jehovah Witnesses, the Gnostics, say that He never was. When that eternal spirit left Jesus on the cross of Calvary, and that's it. That eternal spirit, they call Him Michael. The spirit of Michael came upon Jesus at His baptism and left Him at the cross. And whatever happened to the body of Jesus, they don't know. What's the Bible say happened to the body of Jesus? Anastasia. He rose again. He rose. Thomas says, unless I put my hand in the holes in His care, that's right there where it's talking about, in His wrist, if I can put my finger in His wrist and see the nail scars in His feet and thrust my hand in His side, I will believe it's Him. Otherwise, I will not. Because Thomas, I don't care what he was, he had been baptized, he was part of that church, but that man did not believe in the resurrection because they never heard of anything such a thing except in the book of Job, and they didn't understand the book of Job.
What did you call that part right there?
Care.
That's
all this part of it.
Carpal?
Yeah, carpal tunnel. It's right here is where they nailed Him.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's why they crucified Him. They nailed Him in the wrist. It wouldn't come loose otherwise. Up here it would tear out, but right here it would not. And besides that, this is where all your nerves go right here. Guess what they wanted to do, those Romans? They wanted to hurt you. They killed them all right, but they wanted them to die real slow and very painful. That's what you call a deterrent. If they crucified people today for molesting children and stuff like that, we would have very little crime. How about if they crucified them for robbing banks? How about blue-collar crimes if they crucified one every now and then out on Chester Avenue, down there, Chester 19th or something? How much crime do you think we'd have? I can guarantee it was definite deterrent of crime in Roman days, and it would be today also. We have seen, first person plural, perfect indicative active, and we have heard, first person plural, perfect indicative active. Come from hora'o, to see, and akuo means to hear. We get our word acoustic from that. All right? So we have seen Him, we heard Him, and we announce. We message. We become angels. What is an angel?
Messenger.
Messenger. All right. We announce also to ye. Now the word kai there, actually, I think I've written down and there, but you could probably do better by putting also. Okay? Just change that to also. That's a cumulative particle or particle of affirmation. Yes! To ye. To you all. All right? Dative plural, second person pronoun. In order that also you Fellowship. Koinonion. Fellowship. Common. This is where you get the word communist. It comes from this word right here. Communist. Communists have everything in common, don't they? Supposedly. Ye may have, second person plural, present, subjunctive, active, ye may have. Who decides whether you're going to have fellowship with the church or not?
Church.
Who?
You.
You.
God.
Who makes? Does God ever grab you and stick you in a church?
No.
Why?
You come voluntarily.
Huh? You have to do it. That's the volition. All right? Now, you're saved outside of churches. You get saved before. You're saved and you become part of the family of God. A church is a visible, physical assembly of people worshiping God in a covenant relationship to God. You can be saved and never join a church. But you can be saved to be baptized. You got to join the church because baptism is the door to the church. All right? They always, in most Baptist churches, they used to say, well, they come forward for baptism. After baptism, you have full rights and fellowships of the assembly, of the church. All right? That's the way it is. Fellowship. You can go to church, but you're not part of it unless you're part of it. Simple as that. Fellowship. Ye may have with us. Who's us?
We're all Christians.
These people in these churches. These people. Jesus called out His assembly, didn't He? Who is He talking about? Who is the we here? Who's the we? That first little church that Jesus called out. Who witnessed that Jesus' resurrection? That little church right there. Now, what happened there on the day of Pentecost? They got Shekinah, didn't they? The Shekinah glory of God came upon, and He baptized that church, and they were empowered to take the gospel. All right? And it says, now we have fellowship with you. You can have fellowship with us. This church was here, where this church was writing. This is the church that John's writing to. You may have something in common, fellowship with us, and the fellowship, or that in common, the koinonia, and the ours with the Father. Our fellowship is with you and with the Father. We're going to find out about this church a little bit later. And with the Son, who you? And with the Son of Him, Jesus Christ. Let's talk about Jesus for a minute and being the Son of God. The Wiu to Theou. Wiu to Theou. The Son, Wius to Theou. The Son, the heir of God. Remember what the word Ben means?
Son.
So what does it literally mean?
Son.
According to the pattern of. Was Jesus God?
Yes.
He's called Ben Elohim, Son of God. He's called according to the pattern of the Father. That's who He was. Who, Brother Harold?
Yes.
Who beat the universe out?
The Son. Yes.
The Son beat it out. And what does the Son mean? According to the pattern. He beat the universe out according to a pattern. Isn't that beautiful? Go back to Abraham for a while. Abraham had a boy he called Ishmael. All right? Now, that son was not according to God's will. He had this son, wasn't according to God's will. And his wife asked him to kick her out, and then God told him, go ahead and kick Hagar out and kick that son out. And he had one heir. Who was the heir?
Yitzhak.
Who did God appoint the heir to be?
Isaac.
Isaac was the heir, not Ishmael. Now, who was the firstborn? Ishmael, but he was from the wrong woman. God had appointed the right woman. All right. Now, after he had this son, after the other one been kicked out and all this kind of stuff, what did God tell Abraham to do? Genesis 22.
Offer him as a sacrifice.
Offer him as a sacrifice. Let's go look at it again. All right. Let's look at it again. Genesis 22. Genesis, the book of beginnings, because it is the book of beginnings. How long was Jesus in the grave?
3 days.
3 days. 3 nights. That's what it said. Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham. God tried him. He didn't tempt him, he tried. And said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. And he said to him, Take now your son, your Ben. Your only Ben. Your only heir. Look at this. Take now your son, your only heir, whom you love, Isaac. Now, do you think God loved the son? God the Father loved the son?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains which I will tell you. And he rose up early in the morning. He didn't wait. He got up early the next morning. And he's going to go kill his boy. His only heir. How long was he on this road?
3 days.
3 days. What do you think this is the type of?
Christ.
How long was he on the road? 3 days. How do you think that Abraham looked at Isaac those 3 days? He looked at him as a dead man. He was dead in his eyes. Just think about that. For 3 days, that son was dead in Abraham's eyes. He was dead. He was as good as dead. How long was the son of God, it says, in the grave? 3 days. How do you think God the Father looked upon the son? Dead. For 3 days. Rose up early in the morning. He was willing. He didn't know where he was going either. He really didn't know where he was going. You know, when Abraham was called out of the Ur of Chaldees, he didn't know where he was going, did he? He didn't know where he was going, how far it was, or anything. What did he do? He went. Now, God is omniscient, isn't he? Do you think how God knew how this cross was going to feel back there in eternity past? Think about that for a while. Do you think he knew how this cross was going to feel, how the nails were going to be in his hands? And he took two of his young men with him, Isaac, his son, and split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place where God had told him. And on the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. And Abraham, this is verse 5, is very important. And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there. And we will return. We will worship and we will return to you. That verb there is first person plural, both of them. In the translations, it leaves it out. But we will worship and we will return. The boy and I are coming back.
He's sure that he would be resurrected.
That's right. He believed that. He believed that he would be resurrected.
I have a question here.
Yes.
It says Isaac cut his own wood for the burnt offering. Is that be associated with,
yes,
with wood being humanity and,
yes,
cut the humanity?
Yeah.
Yeah. Also a corollary to Jesus bearing his own cross.
That's right. That's right. All of this, every bit of it is there, isn't it? Isn't that beautiful? It's beautiful, but it's sad because that's what God gave up for us. All right. Now we go on and verse 7. And Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold, the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for the offering? And Abraham said, God will see to it. God will see to it. The word is Yireh. All right? It means to see, is what it literally means. God will see to it. All right? Now let's go on. It says here in verse 9 that that Abraham built the altar, and he put wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. He was getting ready to kill him. He was ready to kill that boy. He was going to cut his throat. That's the way he offered it. Pull her heads back and slit her throat with a sharp knife. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And then it says the angel of the Lord. Now, who's this?
A messenger.
A messenger. Well, this is the Lord himself. This is Jesus talking to... This is Jehovah talking to Abraham.
What word does it use in the Greek? I mean, in the Hebrew there?
The angel of the Lord.
The angel of the Lord?
Yeah, it refers to... But this is also a term that is... well, we're going to get that in the Bible in 8 Ages on Sunday morning. We're just about right there. And I'll explain that. But this is Jehovah is who it's talking about. Jehovah appeared. In the Old Testament, in the garden, who appeared to Adam? Jehovah walked with him. He who would become. It was what we call the pre-incarnate Christ, isn't it? That's who this is, the pre-incarnate Christ. And he said to him, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad. And do nothing to him, for I know that you fear God. And since you have not withheld your only son, your only bin, your only pattern that's left." Then Abraham raised his eyes, looked, and behold, a ram was caught in the thicket by its horn. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord was seen." The Lord was seen. I said the Lord will provide, but it also means the Lord was seen. When you get in the New Testament, Jesus said exactly who it was. John 8:58. And it is said to this day, in the mount, the Lord was seen and the Lord provided, saw to it. All right? It's a play on words is what it is. And the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven. And he said what? "By myself I have sworn." Who swore by himself? Who swore by himself, the Bible say? God swore by himself, didn't he? All right? "Declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only pattern, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, as the sand of the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies." All right. Galatians 3:8. Turn to Galatians 3:8. Galatians 3:8. We're going to find out who this seed is, because the seed is singular.
Can I ask a quick question?
Are you back there?
Too far off the
subject. Okay.
But in verse 14 it says Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has seen to it. Is that supporting verse 11 and the angel of the Lord? Is that the key that tells us who Jehovah is?
Abraham saw Jehovah, and Jehovah provided or saw to it.
That's how we know that this angel of the Lord is Jehovah, is by verse 14.
Okay, now. Okay. Where did I tell you to go in Galatians?
Galatians 3:8.
Okay, Galatians 3:8.
3:14, I thought you said.
I don't know, I said something. I don't remember.
It talks about Abraham in 14.
All right.
Yeah, but it talks about in
Galatians 3:8.
6 also.
All right, it's quite a little bit in there. "And even Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteous. Therefore, in verse 7, be sure that it is those who are of faith that are the sons of Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel beforehand to whom?
Abraham.
All right. Saying, all nations shall be blessed in you." And verse 9, "So then those who are of the faith are blessed with Abraham." All right. Now he preached the gospel to him, to Abraham. What's the gospel? What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians.
Good news of salvation.
1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. What is the gospel?
Christ
What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Boy, I'll tell you what.
Good news.
I make unto you known, brethren, the gospel, which I preach to you, which also received, in which you stand. It goes on down there, for I delivered you as the first importance that I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. Paul said exactly what the gospel was. Did God preach this gospel to Abraham? Do you think he explained to him that my son will give his life for you? My wheel. My wheels. My Ben. My heir will give his life for you. All of this is just a type of something that's going to come. That he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. Now, if I was a Jehovah's Witness, I'd have to cut that verse out, wouldn't I? If I was a Garner Ted Armstrong boy, the Worldwide Church of God, I'd have to cut this one out of my Bible if I was being honest with myself. Isn't that right, Brother David?
I don't know why they even keep the Bible around.
It doesn't
work, does it?
I wonder how they interpret their world translation.
Oh, they got lots of explanations. Hebrews 11th chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to talk about the Ben, the heir, again. Hebrews 11. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went not knowing where he was going. This is beautiful, people. Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees, one of the most educated, one of the most advanced places in the world at that time. They had libraries as big as there'd be a library in Bakersfield. Bigger. Yeah, be a library is pretty big. They had gigantic libraries back there. They had indoor plumbing. They had fine buildings. A great city. A great civilization. If you wanted education, you had to go to the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham left all that to become a Bedouin for the rest of his life. He left his palace, Brother Bill, to live in a tent for the rest of his life, believing a promise. Believing a promise. In this world that we live in today, we have a promise and a hope of eternal life, don't we? We do. We have a promise. The word, we have a promise, pangalia, and we have a helpis, a hope. The word helpis is a little more than our English word hope. In Greek, it means a guaranteed future existence. It's guaranteed. Guaranteed by whom? By God Himself. As I was listening to Brother Roger Sunday morning, some of you were here listening to Brother Roger Sunday morning preach. He preached a lot of the same message. He's getting me a week ahead of time, because this was here in 1 John, that son, that heir. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about the things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household. He believed. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? 120 years. How long had Enoch preached before this?
A long time.
Enoch preached for 300 years. So he had 300 and 120 together. How long is that? That's 420 years. 420 years the judgment of God had been promised. 1 person did something about it. Noah went to work. He went to work and started building an ark because the flood was coming. They had never seen it rain or anything yet. But the flood was coming. By faith, he built that ark. Now, let's go on down and look at Abraham a little bit more. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed going out of a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien, as a pilgrim. You remember that? John Wayne's old story, come on, pilgrim. You know how I always... Pilgrim. You know what pilgrim is? That's a Bedouin. That's an alien in line. He had no citizenship. For the rest of his life, his son had no citizenship. His sons had no citizenship. They had no citizenship. For thousands of years, they never had the promise. They never realized this promise, but they believed God. Those Jews still believe it today, people. They still believe it. By faith he lives as an alien in the land of promise, as a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac, Jacob, and fellow heirs of the same promise. Fellow heirs. Seen. Fellow heirs. That's beautiful, isn't it? Fellow heirs. You know what? We're fellow heirs too. We're fellow heirs. We have that same promise. That same kind of promise. But our city that we're looking for, Brother Bill, is the city's four square, isn't it? It's got pearls for gates. In that city. What kind of floors does it have?
Golden
floors. What kind of foundation does the throne of God set on?
Diamond.
Diamond foundation. Reflecting all the fire and the power and the Shekinah glory of God. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. What did John say in John 14 and verse 3? Or Jesus, actually. John 14. Kata Iwana, 14.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am,
there you may be also. Isn't that beautiful? Who built this? Who built this? Who was the great stonemason that built this gigantic city?
The Lord Himself,
Jehovah Jesus. He was a stonemason on this earth, and He's a stonemason in heaven. He's the one that built all that for you. And what did He use for mortar? Between the stones. Just like the temple of Solomon was. What did they use for mortar between that temple? They used gold. Think about that. Why do you think they tore the thing plumb down? To get all the gold. Go on, look a little bit. This is a beautiful lesson, isn't it? The air. We're not finished with it. It's good.
You know, in the Church of Philadelphia, I say overcome, He promises that. In the 12th verse.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Beautiful city. Verse 11. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability or power to conceive. Even when she was beyond the proper time of life, she considered Him faithful who had promised. Therefore also, there was born of one man, of him as good as dead, that's Abraham. Abraham was as good as dead. He was 100 years old, wasn't he? At that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. All these died in faith. They never had it. They didn't get it. They never had these promises, but they believed God. How would you like to believe these promises for 3,000 or 4,000 years and never have it? Your sons didn't even have it. And your sons, they promised every generation, promised the next generation, we're going to have this, we're going to have this. They went down in Egypt, and for generations, how long were they down in Egypt? 400 years. Did they still believe? They believed. Without receiving the promises, but having seen them from afar and having welcomed them from a distance, having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. Think about it. What?
That should be a lesson to these doubters of the rapture.
Yes. Well, now, what's the greatest songwriter in history? Who was the greatest songwriter in history?
And you're thinking of David?
Yes. You're just too quick for that, brother. I want to go make their wheels spin just a little while. It wasn't the Beatles. It wasn't Elvis Presley. It was David. Now I go to that 23rd Psalm. Now you can quote that one too, I'll bet you, can't you? The what?
Lord
is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now just, I want you to think about David for a while. What was David's occupation?
Shepherd.
He was a sheep herder. You know, to David, God was the great shepherd. Jesus said in 10th chapter, according the Gospel according to John, caught it in Wana, that He was the good shepherd, that He would lay down His life for His sheep. And what was David's idea of the 23rd Psalm? Heaven was being in the presence of that great shepherd. The 23rd Psalm is a type of heaven itself. For God's going to provide everything for us. He's going to have that table. He's going to lead me beside still waters. I remember I read a story by Don Jesus Jose Lopez. Actually, the way you say Lopez is not Lopez at all. It's Lope. In Spanish, you say Lope. It's not Lopez. But he took his sheep from up here to Home Ranch and was going all the way to Wyoming with them up there. And they went to different places and the sheep would not drink because the water was running. They were starving, dying of thirst, but they wouldn't drink because the water was rushing and making noise. Sheep only drank from still water. They one time drove them 100 miles, starving, and they got them over this place and they wouldn't drink. They had to take water out of there and put it in a pond and carry it so it would be still. Leads me beside still waters. Beautiful. Safety. We don't have much safety in this world, do we? Just think about the way... I mean, you got to put locks on your doors. I remember when I was a young boy, we left the keys in the car. I left my wallet in my car for years. Didn't have a lock on the door. Didn't need one.
Dad left the keys in his truck until somebody stole it.
Made it easy for him. You didn't want him to have to work, did you, brother? We see all these things. Let's go on a little further. John 1 and 29. John 1 and verse 29. Going all the way back, as you're going there, I want you to go back. And you don't have to go back here, but in Hebrews 11th chapter. By faith, Jacob, in verse 21. As he was dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph and worshipped leaning on the top of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Joseph knew that he wanted to go back to the promised land. And he said, take my bones with you back to the land of my people. Think about it. Now, John 1:29, what does that say? John 1 and 29. What's it say there?
Behold the Lamb of God.
Behold the Lamb of God. What? The Lamb of God that does what?
Takes away the sin of the world.
Just think about that for a while. The Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. But this was the heir. This is the Son of God, isn't it? The Son of God, the Ben, according to the pattern. He is God, isn't he? John 1:14, John 1:18. John 1:18, read that John 1:18 again. I want you to get that. I want it tattooed in your mind. People run around with tattoos all over themselves today, but let's get this one tattooed in your mind. John 1 and verse 18, what does it say there? You got that, Emma? Are you there? John 1:18? John 1:18? John 1:18. Have you got there, Anna?
No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son is Himself God and is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God's
will. All right. No one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten God. the only begotten God. And what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the what?
The created
universe. That He gave His only begotten what?
Son.
Heir. Ben in Hebrew. His only heir. That what?
Whosoever.
Believe in Him to not perish but have everlasting life. If you perish and go to hell, whose fault is it?
Your own.
God will never have that put on His account.
Now,
John Calvin might disagree with me, what's that fellow that's doing the tribulation business today?
Hanegraaff
may disagree with me, but I don't care.
Harold Camping?
These boys are all wet. Got to have a sound theologian among you someplace. All right. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Acts 8 and 32 and 1 Peter 1, 19 also.
Yet he opened not his mouth, like the lamb that is led to the slaughter, like the sheep that is silent before the shearers.
That's right.
So he did not open his mouth.
That's right. Jesus didn't. He didn't call all the angels to protect him there because he was the son that was the sacrifice. He was the real sacrifice that all the little lambs stood for. All right.
He
could have called 10,000 angels, but he didn't do it. All right, Acts 8 and verse 32 and 1 Peter 1, 19. All through the book of Revelation, it keeps saying the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, the Lamb of God, doesn't it? The devil got in that thing, I tell you.
Get a sledgehammer.
I tell you, this thing is a trial to my patience. It's as bad as a computer. Try it one more time. Behave.
You wondered Acts 8 and what?
8 and verse 32. But I was saying something when that thing had a fit. What in the world was I saying? It gets me off the track.
You're saying the devil was in that.
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, I forgot. Behold the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, it says, behold the Lamb of God, the Lamb. The Lamb's book of life. The Lamb's this and the Lamb's that. The Lamb. The Lamb that was slain. Over and over again it talks about the Lamb. The real. A Lamb has flesh and blood, doesn't it? God took on flesh and blood so that He could give His life for us, didn't He? All right, Acts 8 and verse 32, Brother Wally.
The place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shear, he opened not his mouth.
All right, that's the Messiah is talking about. 1 Peter 1:19. Who's got? You've got that, Brother David?
We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts.
All right. Who's that bright morning star?
Jesus.
All right. How long ago was this decreed?
Foundation of the world.
Luke 11 and verse 50, John 17 verse 22, Hebrews 9, 26, and Revelation 13 and 8. These are the scriptures we're going to look at real quick, and then I'm going to turn you loose on the world. All right. Luke 11 and 50. Who's got that one? You over there anywhere, Randy? Luke 11 and verse 50.
So that the blood of the prophets shed since the foundation of the world
may be charged against this generation.
All right. The blood of the prophets. And who else? Who stood as the lamb slain from before the foundation of this world?
Christ.
Christ did. All right. John 17 and verse 24. John 17, 24. And in Hebrews 9, 26. And Revelation 13 and 8. John 17, verse 24. We got a little bit of Greek and a whole lot of Bible tonight, people. But if we didn't cover these scriptures, we would not cover that verse. I told you that you could take the first the book of 1 John and preach the whole Bible, didn't I? I meant it. We've only got through three verses. And we've been from Genesis through Revelation, people. John 17, verse 24. Have you got that, Wally?
No, I got Revelation.
Oh, well, I'm not ready for that yet, brother. John 17, Brother Bill.
Father, desire that you, that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world.
The love of the Father. You loved me before the foundation of the world. And that they may share His glory. Remember what I told you last week about sharing the glory of God? Alright? Hebrews 9:26.
Otherwise He would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now once at the consummation of the ages, He has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself.
Once and for all. Once and for all. He came at the appointed time, as He stood from the lamb, as the lamb slain from the foundation, before the foundation of the worlds, the cosmos. All right, Revelation 13 and 8. Brother Wally.
Okay.
Now this is your turn.
Okay.
It's your turn, brother.
And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship Him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
All right. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? Revelation 21. Revelation 21, 7 and 9. Revelation 21.
He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, your part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
All right. Did you go all the way to verse 9?
Not yet.
Okay. Now read verse 9.
And one of the seven angels who had seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and spoke with me, saying, "Come here, I shall show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb."
All right. The bride, the wife of the Lamb. All right, 22. Verse 22 in the same chapter, Revelation 21, verse 22.
And I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb are its temple.
The Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The light of the temple. That is the Naos. The Naos, the very dwelling place of God. What does Shekinah mean?
The dwelling place.
The dwelling place. And what is that? They don't need a sun, do they? Because the brightness of His Shekinah is there. Verse 27. Verse 27.
And nothing unclean and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
In the Lamb's Book of Life. How do we get to heaven?
By faith written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
By salvation. By repenting of your sins. And when you repent of your sins, you are covered with that Shekinah blood of Jesus Christ forever. And never can God ever see anything but the blood of His Son on you forever.
Is it proper to say to,
and you are His.
Is it proper to say to accept the Lord?
That's right. You have accepted the sacrifice of that Lamb. It says over and over again, Jesus is the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world. Well, we're going to go one more verse next week. What is the date? Is this the
25.
25? All right, we're going to be in 1 John 1 and 4 next week. Are you enjoying this as we chase these things? I mean, I could just teach you Greek only.
No, this is great.
But this is what the 1 John is talking about. If I didn't take you back and explain what 1 John is talking about here, I wouldn't be doing this justice at all.
This is what I like.
Well, good.
Amen.
All right.
Don't you, Bill?
Well, I'm going to turn you loose on the world.
David. You're going to ask another question.
Thank all of you for coming tonight.
Mm-hmm.
It's good to have you here. I hope you learned something from God's Word. You know, people have said this is the best class. Sunday morning, I do the best I can, but this is a lot of people say...
You don't have as many people here, and you invite people, and they say, Greek?
Give them one of the tapes, brother.
Hey, you got quality. I remember somebody who said that.
Touche. Is that proper at this moment?
Yes, it was. Is that the guy I got the pickup stolen?
No, that's the guy sitting in front of you.
What can I learn from a Greek class? Well, this is what you learn from a Greek class. You're learning a Greek and a whole lot of Bible.
Yeah, well, I'm really not learning that much Greek. But
you just hang around for another year, brother, and you will find out how much Greek you know, won't he, David?
Yeah, he will.
You'll find out that you know a whole lot more about Greek than what you even know.
You know what the main thing that I can do with Greek today is? Is I can read it spelled in English, and mm-hmm. I can go to my Thayer's lexicon, and I can find it in that book.
Yeah. And you can find those meanings. Go look at the word wheels.
I can find it in there.
And I want to tell you something else. This is one last thing I want to tell you about. When God adopts us, you know what the word adoption means? It's huiothesia. Huiothesia. He means he places you as a son. That's what it means, huiothesia. He places you as a son. When you are born again, you are a son of God, even if you're an old girl. You are an heir. You are a son of God, Brother Harold.
When I adopted my daughter, the judge told me you may not disinherit her.
That's right. You can't. When you adopt them, they can't be disinherited. Think about that.
As a matter of fact, they take first place.
They take first place over the son. So guess what you are? You're adopted. You are a son by choice. And that choice was through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? Now, isn't that a nice thing to send you out on the world with?
Yeah.
Go out there and get them. Go out there and do something eternal this week, Brother Wallace.
Okay.
Go out there and bring somebody next Wednesday night now.
Fine.
Go tell them about how much they can learn in Greek. All right. Now, brother, it's your turn to dismiss us in prayer now.
Heavenly Father, how we thank you for being aware of what's really coming. Lord, so many people have their nose in the mud, but Lord, they never look up. Help us to show them the way. And Lord, we have many of our family and friends that we just love to see worshiping you. But we see them just rejecting you, and it's